Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Jessie Ware, and this is my mum, Lenny.
Hi.
And this is Table Manners. So we're back for another episode, and if you haven't tuned in to us before, this is a podcast about food, family, and the art of conversation. And I host it with my mother, who is usually the chef every week, but not today. I've been given the task of creating a brunch for Annie Mack,
who's vegan.
Yeah, Mum's really excited about this. You're also a bit late, a bit tardy, Mum.
Sorry, I was up early finishing a report before I came.
There you go. No, it's
it's not usually in the morning, darling.
No, this is a special one because I guess, well, Annie Mack is on radio every evening on Radio 1 doing the specialist radio show. So we've managed to get her for a brunch, which actually is my favourite meal of the day, I think. I love a brunch.
I like brunch too, but with smoked salmon.
I know. Alas, Mum, there is no smoked salmon today.
Yeah, sorry.
I think we'll be allowed to have some butter. No, Annie won't. Me and you can have
that. What does she have if she doesn't have butter?
She'll just have dry toast.
It's fun being a vegan, isn't it? Is that gender neutral as well? Because I've told everyone about what you told me on Saturday.
What did I tell you?
You told me that I had to buy the baby gender neutral toys from now on.
Yeah. Because she likes a car.
Yeah. I bought her a car for her birthday. Ooh. Gender neutral enough?
Yes, thank you.
She's going to have a lovely boy doll for Christmas.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah.
God, why did I decide to do this with you? You're a nightmare. I first heard of Annie Mack through my friend Subtract, who used to send Annie Mack songs of his, and I featured on one of Subtract's songs and she played us, which I was really thankful for. So we kind of met through her playing my music, but became friends. She's always been such a big advocate of women in music and has really, really helped my career, I feel, and has always been really, really supportive. And I think she's really inspiring. She's a businesswoman, she's a DJ, she's a mother, she's a tastemaker, she's a festival maker, she's kind of everything. She can do anything she puts her hand to.
Yeah, I noticed that her new amp, so Annie Mack Presents, her crew are women, all women.
Yeah, they are.
It's fantastic.
Her managers are women, her creative directors are women. It's she really believes in the kind of sorority and like female sorority.
Well, she gives you the confidence as a woman to go out there and get what you want, I think.
Totally.
Because she's proof of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And she should be here any second, so I must go and deal with my silken tofu scramble. Apparently she loves potatoes, so I've just basically done a load of breakfast potatoes and a tofu scramble, and you're going to have to deal with it, Mum. It's fine.
Okay, darling.
It's fine.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
All right.
Nice to see you. Can I get your coffee or tea?
Look how gorgeous you look.
I've got English breakfast builders. Done.
The real deal.
That's a tofu scramble.
Right.
Wait until my mum eats it. She's
going to
have an opinion. So. I'm so sorry I'm vegan.
How long have you been vegan?
How long have you been vegan?
Kind of on and off. I stopped when I was pregnant. I just couldn't do it. I was like stuffing my face with smoked salmon. And now that I'm doing it, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, maybe.
Do you like being vegan?
Yeah, I do most of the time.
And is it because you have, because you think
it's about... It's the animals.
Weren't you brought up in Ireland, in the city? Oh, in the city, not in the country.
And my mom was brought up on a pig farm. So she was vegetarian all my life.
You're kidding.
And my sister was too, so we were brought up as vegetarian. Not like strict, and it's just my mom cooked, so she was like, well, you've got to get vegetarian food because that's what I'm cooking for you. So whenever she went away, my dad would like give us sausages and mash and stuff. It was a real treat. And then when I left home, I was like, give me all the meats, because it felt, it was like a novelty. And I ate meat for years. And then, thank you, darling.
Pleasure.
And then I kind of stopped in my 30s.
You don't even eat fish?
I do. When I'm not vegan, I'm pescatarian.
Okay.
I'm all over the place.
I made a declaration online, which was a really stupid thing to do, be like, I've decided to go vegan for a month. And it's
well, for a
be
month
really
is okay, because a month is up.
I didn't even do a month, I did 2 weeks.
I remember this.
Yeah, and you were like, babe, welcome to the club, stay strong.
Yeah, but you know what you did wrong? You were like trying to completely change your diet.
I know.
Like, everything's going to be like super, like extreme. And vegan.
Totally. And I was also like kind of obsessed with making the best kind of vegan food. So like I was cooking constantly.
It's not realistic.
I feel like I had the least amount of raw vegetables in those two weeks because I was busy making bean stews and sweet potato burgers
It's exhausting.
I felt like shit.
I did that as well. I read all the books. There's so many books with like obscenely healthy, skinny looking people.
Mm.
Talking about, you know, making
cacao. Isn't it the same as cocoa?
Yes, but yeah, okay. It was exhausting. But like, I'm a bit more realistic about it. I'm also not so extremely hard on myself about it. So if I go like out to someone's house and they have normal milk, I'm not going to be like, well, I only drink, because I hate being that person. I don't want to like do that. So it's just kind of my personal choices. And wherever I can, which is like 98% of the time, I will do it. I'm not going to eat a steak, but, you know, if I'm out at the weekend and, you know, there's nothing to eat apart from a salad with feta in it, then I'll be like, fuck it, I'll eat it.
Yeah, yeah. But so how does it work with the boys? Are they being
the boys
up, like, do they eat
pescatarian?
Okay, fine.
They've never eaten meat. Just because we don't really have meat in our house. So it wasn't like, you're not, you know, it was just like, it just worked out naturally. Oisin, my oldest, is 4. He loves fish. He eats like tuna and he eats salmon and stuff now and again. But mainly he's a vegetarian. He will call himself a vegetarian because he doesn't really understand pescatarian.
And like, but he'll eat fish. Like he'll have...
Yeah, he'll have fish. Yeah. He doesn't like, he'd have like a fish finger.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
The best, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and what, like tea, is he kind of pescatarian?
Tea's fully carnivore. But
so he just eats it outside
of the
house.
He just eats it outside of the house. But because there's no meat in the house, he will make himself spag bol with corn because you don't really see the difference in it.
The thing with spag bol with corn, I always feel like you have to over season, like to season it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
Yeah, it tastes like
I don't mind it.
Do you not?
For someone who isn't vegetarian at all,
you don't mind like
corn. No.
They have corn pieces now. They're trying to do like chicken pieces.
Yeah, I've had them.
So it's cool. Like, I like it. What I eat a lot of is...
Can you eat corn? Because it's got egg in it.
You can have vegan corn. They've just started
Oh, what?
I didn't know.
Amount of stuff that's got animal products in it is like...
Once
you try and be really properly vegan, it's kind of scary. But I eat a lot of sesame and almond encrusted tofu, which is like really nutty and really flavorous.
I love them.
And I chopped that up and put it in salads, and I chopped it up and put it in everything, stews, everything. But the real talk is I don't cook because I'm at work every night. So I work in town, I go to Lyon, I go to Pret, I go to Itsu, and there's enough.
You're pretty good now.
I'm very lucky to live in London. There's enough stuff. Or I go to the canteen, the BBC canteen, which is hit or miss sometimes. You just kind of, if they're having a roast, you just have the roast vegetables, the roast potatoes, and then have some salad.
I love it when I see you getting just a box of roast potatoes. That's basically what you end up with.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I started off extreme. I did it for like quite a while, and then I got pregnant and was just like, I can't handle this. And now I'm just being a little bit more adult about it.
What do you miss? What do you miss the most out of?
Halloumi and smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon's the best thing on earth.
I love smoked salmon.
Me too.
Yeah. And the thing is with me is because I grew up with my dad's really into fishing, so I grew up going fishing with my dad. I was a proper little tomboy, played football, went fishing, caught loads of fish all the time. I was a really good fisherman. We'd go out on boats and I'd have like 7 mackerel on my line, and my dad would have like 1 and be like, what is it with you? So I used to love catching fish, and I've like done stuff on telly about fishing and why are there no women fishermen, like people and stuff.
Oh, I remember that.
On the culture show. So I think, you know, people say with animals, like if you know, if you are comfortable with hunting and catching an animal and, you know, knowing how to prepare it for a meal, then I think that's, you know, if you are morally okay with that, then that's fine. But a lot of people, I think, don't understand where their food's from. They don't understand. Yeah. They don't think about factory farming and that kind of thing. So for me, with fish, because I've done it and I've killed a fish and I've gutted a fish and I've fried a fish and eaten a fish, for me, the process isn't, you know, horrific. But my problem is the kind of the, I guess...
Sustainability.
The sustainability and the factory farming element, where it's just kind of like, you know, fish being bred to be killed, to be eaten. Anything like that, animals being bred to be eaten.
So potentially, like, say you were an island and you were going out fishing.
And I caught a mackerel.
And you'd eat it.
Yeah.
Because I think it wouldn't have necessarily been...
It hasn't happened for years, farm. But maybe I would.
Like, maybe you'd want to take the boys out and, like, I don't... And so, okay, so, like,
I think you're, like, the best kind of vegan.
I think it's about moderation. I think everything is about moderation.
Yeah.
And I read a really good article about it, about this guy who was, you know, just saying that, you know, there's extremes, and I... The main thing is just I just don't judge anyone for how they want to eat. That's fine. But for me, it makes me be vegan longer if I have small exceptions every now and again, and I'm not too strict on myself. Because if you're too strict, then you're just like, this is ridiculous. So you just have to be a little easy on yourself sometimes.
Sorry. I've been given the task today of cooking. Not a task, it was complete pleasure. So it's going to be a vegan brunch.
A vegan brunch.
Yes. And it's, you know, we have... in there.
I mean, you've gone in, babe. From what I can see, you've like, a vegan brunch for me is like baked beans and toast with some avocado smash.
I mean, we have got some avocado smash.
Yeah.
We've got some roasted vine tomatoes.
What?
We have a tofu scramble, which is supposed to be like a southwestern like tofu scramble, but I feel like it's just a bit miserable. I know my mother is going to have some. Look, she's already giving me side eye.
I'm not doing anything. I would have cooked.
But I'll poach you an egg if you need to.
I don't need a poached egg. But I wouldn't, I don't really know how to cook vegan food. I need to probably try.
Hey, McDonald's are going vegan.
Shut up.
I swear to Jesus.
What are they
going to
do?
McDonald's are going, they made a vegan burger. Yeah. They're rolling it out in Finland for 3 weeks.
Why in Finland? Are there a big lot of vegans
there? I don't know,
but
yeah, it's a real thing. They're making a vegan burger, which is pretty major, actually, when you think about, like...
Have they always had bean burgers, though?
Yeah, they've had bean
burgers. They've had veggie burgers.
I love their veggie burgers. It's really... Sam is peering... My husband is peering around the corner. Come here.
You fancy a McDonald's... A McVegan?
Sam was...
I believe, right?
Nick, can you get near the mic, please?
I'm so cold here.
Shut up. Get in.
Look, but if I was to become vegan, right?
Yeah.
Then
so what are you?
I'm kind of vegetarian at the moment until Jesse puts a shepherd's
his
pie.
His spirit animal is like a vegan person.
I feel like I'm vegetarian in heart, but my gut's like...
Your gut's a carnivore. Yeah.
Miss a bit of meat. But if you're
vegan...
You're
the laziest vegan.
Then your ideologies are like to save the planet, look after the animals. Mm. Then you shouldn't be eating McDonald's. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, full stop.
Even if it's a vegan burger.
Yeah. So I guess I kind of want to go back to you talking about your family, because are you from a big family?
I'm the youngest of 4. I was brought up in Dublin, and I had a really like nice upbringing. I was brought up in the suburbs of Dublin, kind of 4 miles out of the city centre. Like, you could see the Dublin Mountains from our back garden. Dublin reminds me loads of Sheffield. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's kind of surrounded by a beautiful countryside. Yeah. It's kind of similar size.
I love Dublin.
The people are very warm, super friendly, mad, brilliant sense of humour. And my school was behind my back wall. So every day I would go
jump
over the wall.
Oh,
and
my
go
God,
to school.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so I had a nice kind of local vibe.
And was your family a foodie family?
No.
Your mum was a vegetarian.
My mum hated cooking. Right. My dad worked in England from Monday to Thursday every week. My mum brought up 4 kids. She had 4 kids in 5 years. A.
She's mad.
B, she brought them up pretty much in the weeks on her own. See, we didn't have any money, so she like made the curtains, made the clothes, dad made the furniture. It was all very kind of like DIY vibes. She was a school teacher when she was able to go back to work. When I was old enough to go to school, she went with me and taught. But yeah, she the cooking was purely functional. And we had a different meal every night of the week. So Friday was chips, eggs and beans. Wednesday was pizza. Yeah. Thursday was macaroni cheese with sweet corn, tinned. So it was just like, it was purely like, I have to, you know, get food on the table and that is it. But I still love the macaroni cheese to this day.
Yeah. Like, did you kind of enjoy that you knew you were getting every day?
Yeah, I loved it. And because there's four in the family, like, there was no, you know, you had to eat what you could. Because if you didn't, it would be, people just take your food and stuff. Yeah. But I do also have lingering memories of my mom, like making me eat broccoli. Not broccoli, Brussels sprouts and cabbage. And like, I was not allowed to leave the table until they were gone. And I would just sit there for hours with like four soggy Brussels sprouts. Because she boiled the fuck out of them. And they tasted disgusting.
Do you like Brussels sprouts?
No, I still hate them to this day.
I've got a cracking recipe for...
Is it like nutmeg and butter? Because
it's got cheddar in it.
Oh, but she could have vegan cheddar.
It tastes like shit.
No, you know what?
Oh, really?
I'm starting to find vegan cheddar. You have to slice Brussels sprouts really fine.
Yeah.
And then you mix it with hazelnuts. A yellow mustard dressing, quite a thick yellow mustard dressing, and then put cheese in as well and mix it all together. It's delicious.
That's really good, but unfortunately, well, you could use some miserable
Rosie Mac
vegan.
wasn't having the hazelnuts and the mustard back in the day.
But I do feel like Brussels sprouts Rosie have come Mac. A long way from the 80s, you know.
Yeah,
I
think. They have. Yeah, yeah. So food, and still my mom can't stand cooking. She's still like, ugh. And when people are coming around, she's like, what will I cook? And she has recipes from magazines, and she's, you know, she cooks like vegetable bakes and quiches. She's, you know, she's got better at it over the years, but I think she'd say herself.
Are they still in Dublin?
Yeah, still in
Dublin.
That
must be hard for you because you're quite a close family, right?
And since kids, it's been harder, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
You miss your family loads when you have kids.
Does she come over?
Yeah, they come over a lot, and I go over to them as much as possible. And I had a brother in London for ages, but he's back in Ireland now, so all my family are in Ireland. So yeah, I miss him.
I think, like, you know, my mum complains that she's in South London, I'm in East London.
That's because guess who always comes? I'm always here, darling. Well, I've been here, this is the third time in 4 days.
But you get to see your beautiful granddaughter.
I adore her. Yeah, my beautiful daughter and son-in-law. But it is hard because I work as well.
Well, I think, I don't think we should complain because you're not a Ryanair flight away.
No, but...
They always go Ryanair as well.
Don't go
well,
Ryanair.
Well, they never learn.
That's like big eating meat to me.
It's like they came to see me in Ibiza. The two times they've both gone Ryanair and both times they have been traumatized. There was a stag party on the flight and there was a guy pretending
to
be a horse
stag party.
Galloping up and down the aisle with a horse head on.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like a horror film.
Oh,
and they
God.
Were just like traumatized. And then the second time, my mum actually punched someone.
Oh my God,
she
love this.
She was sat beside a guy who was a part of another stag party and
who
they were like
drunk.
Yelling abuse at each other, getting hammered. And like he stood up and just said, like they were towards the end of the flight and he stood up and like said, yelled abuse to another person and she just went, like a real mum punch, like,
Rosie Matt.
Stop it right now.
Can I ask you this? So the podcast is called Table Manners. We like to ask the guests if you have any like pet peeves, like any table manners that you think are just the worst thing you can't stand in a restaurant or...
I just the thing that I judge everyone on. I try not to judge people, especially as a mother. It's really easy to judge other mothers.
Yes.
My only thing I judge people on is how they treat the staff. So if you're rude to a waiter, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
Basically,
I know
that as someone who's waited a lot of tables in my life and worked in a lot of pubs and stuff, I just feel like that's it's a really good safe measure of a person.
I think you're so right. Nobody said that. I think you're so right. I've had like some friends where I've just really disliked them after going out for dinner with them.
You get a bad feeling inside when you see someone you know be like that because you're like, God, I don't want to.
I mean, I did have an altercation with a Nando's staff member, but I feel like we were having a right old josh about.
Yeah.
However, he got my order wrong and I was like, I'm really sorry, you missed out the mushy peas. And he was like, you didn't order them. And I said, I did actually. And he said, no, you didn't. And I said, well, I'll just get my receipt out, shall I? And I'll show you. And then he looked at it, saw that the mushy peas were there. And I said, don't fuck with me, Jack. because he had his name thing, but I said it very calmly. But
don't fuck with me, Jen.
I just said, I felt like I was in 24.
That's so sinister.
he looked at me, Sam, my husband, it was in Brixton Nando's, and he was like, "You're a psychopath."
What did Jack do?
Jack went and got my marshy peas. Yeah, of course. And kind of with a wry smile.
Yeah.
I was like, "Thank you, Jack." But it just came out.
Oh my God, I love it.
I mean, we were getting on and I was very polite, but don't fuck with me, Jack. I know my order.
That's good, but that you know, that's a conversation that you had where you are equals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yes. But
For me, it's like when people don't look at the waiter in the awful. And they're like bark orders at them and they're like, oh.
Totally. Ooh. I know that you don't get that much chance to cook because obviously, like, well, yeah. I mean, you're out basically Monday to Friday doing your at dinner time. Do you cook at the weekends? Do you like cooking?
Yeah, I do, actually. I've grown to like it. And when I was on maternity leave, I really enjoyed... It's quite meditative, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, just chopping things and preparing things. And I used to make a mean macaroni cheese.
Oh, yeah?
Pre-veganism. Oh, that cheese was good.
Oh, man.
Because there's this book called Anna May's Mac and Cheese. You know when you go to festivals and there's an Annie's Mac and Cheese? People always send me Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So they've done a book on just like...
And it's a vegan one.
No, this is pre-vegan.
Oh, this is when you
used to make mac and cheese every week. I like just things like stir fries and like nice bakes and stews and stuff I would make, yeah.
So do you have like a family roast or anything? Do you do that or you go out for it?
We never do roast.
I mean, at the moment, I don't.
See, my boyfriend wishes we did roasts. I think he's going to learn.
Men always... I feel like men want the roast more than the women.
The thing is, the roast is
because the men get cooked by... we're always the one bloody cooking. Yeah,
it's a real British thing.
I love roast.
In Ireland, where I'm from, roasts aren't really that big a deal.
Oh, really?
Like Yorkshire pudding? What is that? I have no... Don't get it.
So what would you be having? Would you have like a family meal on a Sunday then? Would it be there? Is there an equivalent?
You would, but I don't think there's an Irish equivalent. No, like the Irish love a stew. They love a lamb stew.
There's lots of carveries in Ireland.
There is, yeah. But when it comes to like you know the way in here in the UK the culture is let's go for a roast on a Sunday.
Yeah,
it doesn't really feel like that's a thing in Dublin.
But I presume you go to the pub on a Sunday, maybe?
You go to the pub, yeah.
But you just don't get the roast?
I do like a roast. I get a veggie roast, but the Yorkshire pudding I'm not on. Don't like.
So you just don't get... That's so weird, because I feel like Yorkshire pudding's like the least offensive thing in a roast.
I don't know, it's just tasteless.
Yeah, but you just like, put loads of gravy and then it just tastes of soppy...
Is that what you do?
Yeah, I mean...
You fill it with gravy?
It's like gravy cardboard, yeah. I guess when I think about it doesn't have much taste.
Well, it started, it wasn't served with your roast, it was served before with gravy in to fill you up before you had the meat.
How do you know this?
Because I know that.
Did you get that off bacon?
What, no. So because there's not that much meat, so you have to be
so
full,
people
yeah.
people filled it, so it's a huge one, you put gravy in it and it filled you up first before, because people didn't have that much meat.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So we have dished up and it's a bit of a mishmash. I know that Annie loves a potato, so I've basically done kind of breakfast roast potatoes in rosemary and garlic.
Yes!
And then we've got a tofu scramble with kind of cumin and cayenne pepper and some sriracha and kale and garlic.
What's sriracha?
You just spray.
Oh, that's the sauce. Okay, that's the sauce.
Sriracha, hot chili sauce.
Yum.
Then we've got avocado smash with coriander, and we've got some my favourite things like the roasted vine tomatoes. Mm. Mum, you can have some butter.
Do you not have any butter?
She's just like misbehaving.
That's I'm my not. Other thing. With halloumi and smoked salmon, that's the other thing I miss the most, real butter.
Real
but you
butter.
Can you get just dairy-free butter, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, I'm sure.
I feel like we need to address this because Annie was really integral. Well, I mean, I've spoken about this before, but like Annie was really important. Basically, you and Annie were the people that told me to get pregnant. And I felt like I needed a voice from music to tell me that it was going to be okay, a female voice to tell me it was going to be okay to be pregnant and be able to still do my job. And I guess Annie was the perfect voice to give me that because I could see your career's got better and better since you've had... You said your career's got better since you've had children. Like it's like...
It's true. It has.
And I Why do you think that is?
I think it's two things. I think it's because I waited till I was, you know, in a position where my career was safe.
Yeah.
To have a baby. So I was 34 when I had my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And as in I felt secure to leave it. Yeah. Never that secure. But,
I know. I feel like
but
music is never that secure.
Yeah, but it's still terrifying having to leave a job which is essentially freelance, which essentially is like, you know, someone's going to be doing it for you. And when you're in the public eye, you know, at least someone isn't going to step in and be Jessie Ware while you're on maternity leave. But in my job, someone is looking after what I consider to be my baby, as in my radio show. So that's hard, but it makes you super focused. Mm. You know, you don't have as much time to spend on it. There's no procrastination. You have less time. You go in and you blitz it and you know what you want. And also, it was good for me in a way because it made me realise that people did miss me. And I had no idea whether, because I'd never been away. I'd never had a chance to test that out. And so it's not something you want to test out voluntarily, you know, but I did. And it made me feel way better about having a second baby as well.
Did you feel like then you had this greater confidence when you returned?
Yes, that
from feeling wanted and also feeling like you could do anything because you're a superwoman, you've had a baby, and you know,
more just like, okay, you know, obviously what I'm doing is satisfactory to people. Mm-hmm. They like it, not just on the radio but beyond that, being a DJ as well. And then I guess now I kind of feel a sense of not responsibility, but a kind of part of me feels like what I'm doing is really important because I am a woman, and because there's no other, as far as I can see, well, not many other women mothers who are DJs, you know, in my sphere, and I feel like it's really important that I keep doing what I'm doing.
Do you feel like people kind of like focus on that as like a unique selling point? Do you feel like it deters people?
I feel like it's both. Actually.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like from a promoter's point of view, because like with the exception of me, I think in the UK, I don't know any festivals that are run by women.
Mm.
It's all men. Mm. And I think that men are only now in the last kind of 3 or 4 years starting to see it from a female perspective because they've kind of been forced to because people are giving out about it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, if you look at a festival lineup, it's always like the first 10 rows are pretty much men a lot of the time recently. So for me, because I'm a woman and because I can sit in high up in a lineup, promoters want to book me because there's so few choices of DJs. So they're like, we need Annie because she's
That's
a woman.
So good. I never
so it's good that. In that way. but it's also, you know, I don't know, it's never felt like a deterrent to me. The only way it's felt like a deterrent is by not being able to focus on an international career. But that's my own personal choice. Like, I could bring my kid with me, but it wouldn't be very fun for him.
Yeah.
No.
That would be... look, I'm about to embark on an international tour with my child and a husband, and maybe it's...
And a husband. There's the key.
Yeah.
So your husband's coming. And all the DJs I know who do tour with kids have a partner that they bring. Who will look after the kid. And that is brilliant. But for me, I wouldn't be able to do that because my partner is also a DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
So therein lies my problem.
Yeah. I think, I'm very lucky that like Sam is basically going to take a year off to
is
help
he?
Me. Well, yeah, I mean,
that's
the
most
beautiful
thing.
He's lucky because he's personal trainer, so he can kind of...
It's his own business.
In and out, yeah. And, but... And
Alex
but
is still offering to help, by the way.
My brother, who's also taking a year out being a doctor, so he's like ready to be nanny, which is great. But terrible. I think still it's weird, isn't it, that it still sits funny and you almost have to like thank the person even more. Like, I feel like it's a given. It's the other way around.
Because a husband would never thank a wife.
Exactly.
For doing that.
I mean, like, it just feels, maybe they would, but like, I respect Sam and I appreciate it so much that he's doing it, but I do feel like I need to always address this fact that he's taking the year and that's quite a novel thing.
But wouldn't anyone address if their partner was suspending what they did?
Maybe a guy wouldn't address it as much as a woman would, I guess.
I don't know. If you have a job and you're committed to your job and you stop doing it, I think you'd thank either person.
I think you would like to think that. But I think probably it's been done. It's more systematic for women to be the ones that sacrifice their career for the man, because traditionally it's the man that's the breadwinner.
But
things are very much changing now, and you know, and I think someone like Sam is, you know, a shining example of a man who's not led by his ego.
No, I know.
Who's just, you know, loves his family.
I think personally for me, the talking about the kind of deterrent factor of it, which is ridiculous to talk about, sorry, but like, I think it was more my own insecurities of worrying what other people were going to think of me becoming a mother and a singer and this kind of less desirable woman in a way. Like, you kind of, I remember
not done Adele any harm.
Adele could
do anything, really.
Sing the alphabet and she'd be okay, wouldn't she? So like,
it's true.
She's okay. I still feel like when you were talking, you know, you're talking about secure jobs, like I still don't feel like my job is secure, like ever. Yeah. I feel like you're only as good as your last record, maybe like. So
so it's harder.
It's interesting. It's all kind of suck it and see. We'll see how it goes.
But I think that's parenting. And this is what I've learned the most about parenting. The hardest thing I learned was that you can never predict how you're going to feel. So when you rang me that time and you were like, I think I want to have a baby. Am I mad? Mm. You know, that you didn't know how it was going to be.
No.
And that's the hardest thing. You can't plan for being a parent because you could hate it. You could love it. Mm. You could have a kid who never sleeps and you can't do anything.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I think with this, you just have to try it. You have to do what makes you happy as a mother, because as a happy mother, you know, your kid will be happier for that.
Yeah, totally. Can I ask? I mean, because as a female in music, I've always felt like there's been this kind of silent undertone of like trying to almost that you're put against other women.
Mm, very
whether
much
it's like, hon, who was it in my first campaign? I feel like, even though me and Leanne got on really well, like Leanne LaHavis was like an uprising star. There was this girl called Delilah. And it was like, you became like, it became this kind of almost a battle. And it was stupid because it was other people putting that on. Leanne would have me support for her and it was amazing. But do you feel like that happens ever within like radio?
With radio, DJing less so because there's not.
I bet
there's no one.
There's a crew of women there that.
Well, yeah, there is, but
each other.
Because there's so few. I think everyone backs each other up. But DJ radio, there's a lot of women in radio, which is great.
Mm.
Still a lot of work to do in terms of representation. Like if you look at Radio 2, there's not been a female fronted daytime Radio 2 show in 21 years.
That's mad.
Between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., it's fully men.
That
blows my mind that someone thinks that's
that
okay.
Must change.
I know.
What the
I
hell?
Know. But it's people just because it's always been that way. You know, we think about it, but it's Vanessa Feltz in the morning up to Chris Evans, and then it's Joe Wiley from 8 on.
Yeah.
But in that middle block, it's all men from that's 8 to 8.
And I heard Sarah Cox like almost midnight.
That's sacrilege that she is not on daytime radio.
She's great.
She's fabulous.
So funny and engaging.
She's fabulous. But yeah.
And Lisa Tarbuck, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, she's great also. She's really funny.
On radio too.
I think what you're talking about happens mostly with artists for some reason. Mm. I don't know why. I think in radio, because there's so many women, it's not as easy to pit them against each other.
Yeah.
But in what you do, I can see how people would do that. And I think the answer is to do what you do, which is just to be, you know, openly supportive and friendly with these women.
Well, I think there's been really... I've had such wonderful experiences of women with music. Like, you know, Paloma Faith has been amazingly... She's also very vocal and
she's
become
amazing.
A mom. She is amazing.
Okay.
And she's kind of no nonsense. And I, you know... no, there's so many wonderful women out there. But yeah, I was just wondering whether it was
similar. I just kind of wondered whether they tried to do those silly kind of almost, they're like silly mind games almost.
Yeah. You. Yeah.
Silly.
I know, it's very, very silly. I think, yeah, it's just about having a support system, I guess.
Definitely.
You know, where you support each other. But I do think as well that there's still a lot of kind of, it's still conceived, like, considered a novelty when it's like loads of women together. You know, like the fact that Radio 2 can be all men and no one says a thing.
I know.
Imagine if that was all women.
I know.
People would be like, uproar. It's all women. Are they trying to make a point? What is this?
I know.
You know what I mean? And it's the same with like DJ lineups or, you know, festival lineups. The day that we can see a lineup where it's just women and no one comments on it is the day that I dream of, where it's not a token thing. It's not a considered thing. It's just because women are really good at doing what they do and there's loads of great artists out there who are women. That is a day I can't wait for. Hopefully it won't be too long.
I mean, I feel you do these Animac Presents nights, which I think I'm doing one of them.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you. The day after the Brits. Thanks so much for that. You cow. You absolute cow. Yeah, thank you.
I'll come with you. I'll be with you every step of the way.
It'll probably be a miserable night anyway at the Brits, so it'll be fine. But I was wondering, so I guess I'm presuming you always make sure that there's a female on your lineup.
Yes, we have to. I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's also about making sure that no matter what, you're supporting good music. That's got to be the first priority.
Yeah, totally.
And with the festival, like especially this year, we...
Lost and Found.
Festival, which is a festival I do in Malta every year.
How brilliant, what a brilliant idea to do one abroad so you can get a tan, work and get a lovely tan and a glow.
It's fun, I like it. But yeah, that there's a real kind of precedent for me now to make sure, because especially there is so many women, so it's not like there's no excuse for not booking women now, because especially in the world of dance there's loads. So I really want to make sure
Do you feel like there's almost an added pressure that you're like the pioneer, like you're the like pioneer for all these women, like you're the kind of the woman's woman, and now you're like...
I've been kind of conflicted over the years, because especially at the start when I was a woman, I used to get asked, when I was a woman, I'm still a woman, when I was a DJ, I used to get asked to play female lineups all the time, as in like, come on, let's
hear it for the girls.
Yeah, come and play a girls' night. And I always said no, because my thing was like, I don't want to be a token. I just want to be considered a good DJ, regardless of my gender. And I think we should be pushing women forwards, obviously supporting them and being, you know, actively supporting them. But I feel like sometimes those girl nights don't end up being... beneficial, because it helps put, you know, women DJs in a box, and I don't know, I still feel a little conflicted by that. But
how did you start being a DJ? Did it start in Ireland?
Yeah, it started when I was in university. I bought a set of decks off my friend
in Ireland.
Yeah, in Belfast. Yeah.
What did you study?
I guess I studied English Lit. Yes, and I loved it.
Do you still read?
I love reading. I love writing. That's what I want to do. I want to write so much.
Oh yeah,
but I never have time.
A book?
Anything. Book. I don't know.
You do essays. Write brilliant. She writes brilliantly.
But this is the biggest bane of my life, is just never having enough time to actually really put, you know, be good at something. Because you have to practice to be good at things, as you know. And I always feel like I'm just kind of a fair weather writer. And in my head, when I'm like, you know, in my 60s, I just write. I'll have a little desk by a window.
That sounds gorgeous. Mm.
Annie, you know that you're because you're a DJ and you play dance music.
Yeah.
When you took over the evening slot and you have to play a whole range of music.
Yeah.
Do you like all the different musics? Okay. So
like,
it isn't like...
Like, no, next level.
Yeah.
Like, I love dance music, but I had been going to see my boss at Radio 1 for years saying, I want to get out of the box.
Okay.
Because I always liked... I mean, I used to work on Zane Lowe's show where he played... The show that I'm doing now, I used to be the assistant on for years.
Did
so
you?
I worked on that show. I made Zane's tea for him. And I used to play guitar and the mandolin and the piano. Like, I'm really... I love it.
Oh, wow.
So
you love
different
music.
Types of
Have
music.
Have you thought about making your own music?
Loads of times.
Do you...
But I can't be that guy, girl.
Why?
Because I can't be the radio DJ that makes music.
Why the hell not?
Because I can't be like, I don't know, it's too much.
Your
I can't handle
it. Your boyfriend is.
I know, but he made music first and then just became a DJ.
You need to just have a different name.
Yeah.
Do like a subtract.
Pseudonym.
Yeah, pseudonym.
Yeah.
And then you'll be all right.
Are your children going to have piano lessons?
Do you know what? I was really thinking about that this week, because I really want them to appreciate music. And I had lessons when I was a kid, and I think it really helped me.
Did you? I really regret. Jesse had piano lessons, and I got this elderly man who was very kind. Well, his breath smelled of tuna.
Mr. Morris. Stunk of tuna, it was alcoholic.
And she didn't have piano lessons, so she did up to grade 8 voice without reading music.
Wow.
Well, not that impressive. I had to go to like a different, like it wasn't, I didn't do Guildhall. I had to go to like Trinity or something anyway.
It didn't matter because you've got a good ear.
No, it's, but.
But I think I regret that she didn't play an instrument.
Okay. I'm going to like ram it.
Are you going to play?
I'm going to, basically...
Is Juno going to learn everything?
I'm going to make sure she learns. I got her a little mini piano for her birthday. Yeah.
She can get one of those as well, actually.
She just plonks it. Yeah. Like, she just likes thrashing.
But that's still her doing it in her way.
Totally, and she's really rhythmic, so I just kind of... And hopefully she's going to be surrounded by music, kind of being on tour with me, but, like, I'm desperate for her to be, like, a piano, like, extraordinaire, like, prodigy, so... I mean,
so what instrument? You'd start him on the piano?
Probably the piano or the drums. Oh, as long as they were in a different... Probably put them in the office at the end of the garden.
That's such a good idea.
Soundproofed as well, that place. So perfect. That's good. But I like the idea of him kind of... Yeah, like just anything he wants. I've just taught him about rock and roll. It's occurred to me that he's only ever listened to... Like, we listen to a lot of R&B and soul and rap in our house. We don't listen to a lot of guitar music. Mm. I listen to kind of like Bon Iver and stuff, but and because there's not really that much on the radio, he's not really that familiar with it. So I found this new thing called Daddy Donuts, which is like dinosaur songs, but all done in rock and roll style.
Oh, that sounds
like Johnny Cash vibes, like
that's
so good.
So cool.
And he's obsessed. And he said to me yesterday, I was like, "What do you want to dress up as Halloween?" And he said, "A policeman, but if not a policeman, a rock and roll man."
You've got to make him a rock and roll man.
Oh my God, how do I do that? Just like, looks like Jimi Hendrix or something.
Thank you so much for finding time out of your ridiculously busy schedule. I love you. You inspire me all the time, and I'm so happy that you've been on Table Manners.
Thank you, Jessie.
Pleasure.
Thank you. She's so beautiful.
I know.
I just couldn't get over her skin.
She has got excellent dewy skin.
She looks like she's just... And she doesn't ever look tired. I don't know. She looks beautiful.
The busiest woman in the industry.
Yeah, and she looks so fresh. She doesn't look like she works in the evening.
I hate to tell you.
What?
It's the vegan diet.
Piss off.
We've been Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware.
And I'm Lenny.
And thanks so much for listening. If you are enjoying this podcast, please subscribe or rate us. It helps with the figures and it helps us to keep on going. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.